Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, January the 2nd, the tooth day of 2013. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. You haven't been sworn in yet, have you?
Does
that happen next week?
Next Monday.
Yeah, okay. Sworn at.
Sworn at.
But not sworn in.
Sworn at, but haven't been sworn in.
So then you finally have Estelle by your side.
I'll have Estelle in there. I'm going to miss Cliff. He's a good guy, but I think Estelle's going to be able to do what the people want her to do also.
Also as in, like you?
No, as in Cliff.
Or
serve
Cliff.
Serve the people.
Just
serve, serve the people.
See if we can get you to step in it early and deep this year. This afternoon we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Rex's first 6 months. Unanticipated, unexpected, but certainly a learning curve was there. Perhaps a little bit more compressed than what anybody would have felt comfortable with a year and a half ago. However, things did happen. We'll talk about his first half year when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. Let's see, it's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone, but before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see, which one? It wasn't the Gore Vidal one. Ah, there you go. Nick Seitz. Not the golf guy, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Nick Seitz. Could be. Spelled the same way. Boy, that goes back away.
A long
the
time.
The golf spot.
Long
yeah,
time.
Whoa. That's about a 30-year flashback. Okay. Quote, "The breakfast of champions is not cereal. It's the opposition." Yeah. Yeah, no kidding, man. So what was, for you, 2012 like?
2012, spent the first 6 months knocking on about 3,500 doors and getting a lot of great grassroots support. And
realized, well, that does explain the calluses on the back of your
head. It really does. Yeah. It really does.
Not what everybody accuses you of.
And the broken nose from me getting slammed in my face.
Yeah.
But no, I got to go around to see a lot of people, talk to a lot of people, hear a lot of their concerns. And, I mean, a lot of the concerns are the same concerns we all have. And some of them are concerns that, you know, going down the line, what we can do in the future. I mean, nobody wants to go backwards, you know, and they're hoping to move ahead.
Well, actually, it would be kind of fun to go back about 40 years ago and have the employment base, have the income coming through, have maybe a little relaxation in some of the building codes so that, you know, things could be getting done around here.
Regulatory.
That might not be bad, bud.
Regulatory, maybe. Regulatory, maybe. But the first 6 months, got elected, and then Jimmy had contacted me and said that maybe his doctor was going to want him to go on a very aggressive treatment schedule, and he wouldn't be able to do both. And so we sat and had coffee, and he explained everything to me, and then we actually went to...
This was after you were elected. He started to share with you what the job was about.
Yeah. He could have told me that
Tiny,
before.
Yeah.
But, no, it's been really good, and I like getting out and about, and Jimmy's been very helpful. As I've said this every time we've talked. It's been great taking, because a lot of people, when they take office, they never even talk to the person who was there before them, so they don't know what's continuing. They don't know what's going on, because there's either animosity because they lost an election, they're not going to help, or they're done and they walk out the door.
Or could have bumped up and they're busy doing something else, and then there's
exactly
the other one.
Yeah. And so you don't have that, and I've been very lucky because I've had a relationship with Jimmy, and he's been able to
you guys knew each other before too, so that
quite a bit
a lot.
Yeah, quite a bit.
The
so.
Campaigning part, what was the biggest effort there? Was it getting out and seeing people? Because I know you're as gregarious as either of us in the room.
Yeah.
Meeting people is no big deal. Finding the time to meet people, now that's a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, because I had a full-time job, and I was still having to go, you know, after work, weekends. And then, you know, I still had, back then, you know, we still had the Little League, had the fields, had the auctions, had, you know, a little bit of everything. And so, and I had some great people helping me. We ended up having, I think, over 1,100 people donate to the campaign. We had some great campaign parties. I had really good support from a lot of people, and I'm still getting some of that support and some of that reassurance that I haven't screwed up too bad in their eyes or anything like that. But it's been pretty rewarding. I try to get out and about in the district as much as possible, and First District is pretty big when you're getting out to Petrolia, Honeydew, and those areas, Ferndale, and Olive Cutton, and Stafford, Red Crest now, and those areas. But boy, there's sure a lot of great people out there, and they're willing to help. They're willing to fill you in on what's going wrong and what's going right.
Do you experience a difference with the type of lifestyle difference that you see? You mentioned Cutton, and then let's say Matole, mm-hmm. and Ferndale. Throw in Red Crest. Four completely different lifestyles. Four completely different sets of concerns and issues?
Yeah, Petrolia, Honeydew, a lot of road issues out that way. Extreme amount of road issues and stuff like that. Cutting, a lot of traffic, speeding, development things they want to keep an eye on and stuff like that. And road issues throughout the county. And, I've said this before, and I'll say this again, our public works guys, under Tom Mattson and Art Reeve, do a great job. I mean, I one of them commented, I said, yeah, I heard you throw a bone to us the other day. Said we did a good job. And I'll say it again, this last little bit of flooding and things like that that took place and these other issues that are going on, these guys really go out there and make it happen. And, I think I've said it, they just putting out all the signs that say flooded, road closed, getting these things taken care of is just massive.
The job of being a supervisor, is it more than what you thought?
Yeah, and I actually thought I'd be able to get out more. And I find myself, the more times I get out into the district, are either on Saturdays and Sundays after work, because I get up early. I tend to go down there early. I'm usually one of the first ones there in the morning, and I like to get in because nobody's around, so you can actually get some stuff done. But and it takes me a lot longer, I guess. But I want to make sure, I get back to people's emails and get their phone calls returned and things like that, and their issues addressed. And there are so many issues. And their issue is the most important issue to them. It may not seem, that big on the scale of things, but at the time, it's their biggest issue. And so you try to address it, fix it, or at least explain to them why you can't.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. 5 years ago, Mark and Lori Sanchez hit upon an idea. Gift baskets of Humboldt-made food products that folks could send to family and friends here or in distant places. They coined the name Humboldtious for their collection, and their company, Bella Baskets, took off. Today they have regular customers in all 50 states and 14 countries. One man in Point Barrow, Alaska, regularly orders a meat sauce. A film company in Ontario, Canada, orders barbecue sauce for its catering department. This Christmas season, Mark and Lori expect to sell 700 Bella Baskets. Their taste treats include such things as canned albacore, honey, barbecue sauces, hot sauces, jams, pralined almonds, coffee, and chocolate, all Humboldt County products. Based in Old Town, their business continues to grow, and, just as important, it's bringing outside money into our economy. Their website is bella-basket.com. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with First District Supervisor Rex Bone. Rex, as you consider where the county ended up at the end of 12, okay, being a newbie, you probably were still kind of getting your feet on the ground, even though you may have felt like you knew a lot of what was going on. Yeah, I've heard that the learning curve is more of a cinder block wall. You run into it, and then you got to climb over it, and then you can start to get a sense of what's going on. When you hit the wall, you went, oh, no. How long from that time until you started to feel like you were getting dangerous?
The first couple months, if I didn't have, I keep thanking people, but the people in the office, Kathy Hayes and Nikki and Tracy, they kind of keep me lined out and the calendar and make sure you get there and paperwork gets in line and stuff like that. And that's immensely helpful when the workings and keeping things. And a lot of the times, a lot of the guys work out in their district. Like Ryan will work out in his district because there's no reason to come to the courthouse every day.
Because drive an hour and a half for what?
I mean, both ways when their problems are out in their district. And so you see a lot of that. So since I'm based out of here, close to the courthouse, I work out of the courthouse a lot and try to get out to the areas as much as possible. And as things evolve, it is a little overwhelming at times, and you're finding out we don't I heard that a lot. We don't do it that way. And I always ask why, and there's always a good answer, and a lot of it is, you know, legal reasons. You know, you have to follow – you really have to follow the book more so in the public sector than the private sector, because you're answering – you know, to so many people, and you're
a big target.
Well, yeah, and you're a big target, and you want to do right by the people. That's the main thing. You want to do what's best for the people and do what's right for the people, and so many of them are friends, you know. So you really that's the added effort I have, is I've just got so many friends out there throughout the county.
That's what I would figure would be the toughest thing. Hey Rex, okay, and you know, in the past. Somebody would jump into it.
Yeah.
In the present, maybe not necessarily so.
Well, and I've got an advantage because I've worked throughout the whole county and know so many people through you know, private working and through the charity work and stuff like that. And I really enjoy. So I do get a lot of people calling from other districts because they know me. And I say, hey, let me follow up on it for you. You just always contact the other supervisor and tell them, hey, so-and-so called. Can you handle this or do you want me to? And things like that. And you try to, you know, facilitate everything you can. But you want to be careful not to, you know, what we call it. I guess they call it in the office poaching because, you know. Every once in a while, I'll get a phone call from Virginia and say, hey, I'm poaching in your district, but I'm just eating dinner or something like that. You know, and it's kind of funny, but we try to, you know, and you try to assist your fellow supervisors whenever you can also.
I would give them a poaching license.
Yeah, there you go.
Put it on the door. Yeah. Hey, if you could take 10% of my load, that's okay.
Yeah, there's no problem with that. Yeah. But no, I mean, things are looking good, looking better, I think, from the perception I'm getting, it's starting to look a little bit better. Things are, you know, we're surely not out of this, but I think we've hit bottom and we're coming around. So,
yeah, it's interesting saying that, and yet when you look at the obvious signs, if we were sitting here 2 years ago talking, we'd be talking about the empty storefronts. We'd be talking about the lack of shoppers. We'd be talking about empty parking spots. How are you going to keep your focus on here rather than focus on the governmental structure? So when things are okay, that means Sacramento says that they're okay.
Well,
not necessarily what we say on 6th and 7th Streets.
Okay. Yeah, no, and you're right. And you know, it always hits us last, and then we're always the first, you know, it seems to. We always seem to lag a little bit behind, whether it be music, fashion, or whatever the case may be over the years.
Some say intelligence.
Yeah, and business-wise. But there are little things that are happening. I mean, you know, the log exports. Helped both the resource companies and stuff to offset, you know, some of the port work and those things helped out. And then the China, I know the logs from China slowed down a little bit, but I think they may be coming back because I think Russia and China are fighting over their logs because there's a 25% tariff. So those things.
Just ran out of ink, sorry.
As we work forward, hopefully you're going to see some of these things show a realization. I see more new cars driving around. I don't know if that's the...
Isn't that amazing?
It just amazes me, but I still see... I call it the paper plate syndrome. I think that's always a good thing. If somebody's buying a new car, that means, you know, something's happening and things like that. And, I mean, it's just a short barometer, and it looks like there's houses. I've noticed houses, you know, sale pending on a few more houses than normal. You know, I know there's still a lot of houses for sale, but you see sale pending. And this isn't
the time of the year that's supposed to be happening.
Yeah, November, December, January are usually the three hardest months to sell things. But it seems like they're staying busy along those lines, and hopefully that's all working out. And if you believe the press, they say the house prices are coming up. So,
grain of salt, babe.
Yeah, really. But, I mean, it's little things, but things were so tough that we, you know, now we have to start looking. We need to probably look at almost everything as long as we can do it environmentally safe and productive. We need to look at almost everything right now and then sort it out to see what's going to work.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There's some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County First District Supervisor. Yeah, we can't say incumbent, can we?
I don't know. I'm going to be this. I've served part of one term, so one and a, you know,
change.
Eighth. One and an eighth.
Before the break, Rex, you were talking about some of the environmental concerns that I guess are seeped now through our governmental cultures in the area. Many people have frustrations with, are you process-oriented, or are you letting the process take over everything? I know you can't get involved too much in the department level activities, but is there a way, do you sense that there's starting to be a realization that if we go too far one way, there's no jobs, no need for you, no need for you, you're out of a job?
I think you start seeing that in any job. I mean, even public sector, if you can't, you know, if you're not making anything, the looming layoffs happen and things like that. And we don't see that happening right now. I think Kevin Hamblin, our new planning and building director, has been doing, I've heard nothing but great compliments from him doing the job. And Martha had done a great job doing the interim job. And now Kevin's in there working and they're getting some things through. And a lot of it's, you know, laws are laws, interpretation. You know, you can work with people or not work with people. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways you can make it happen. And hopefully I'd like to be known as, you know, the county that can work with people to get a project done, because projects do mean, you know, they mean something's going to happen. That means the lumber yard's going to deliver some wood. The window shop's going to sell some windows, and maybe we'll get some affordable housing out of the deal or something like that. And add to that, or maybe open a shop where a business will move in because it's specific to what they do.
You mentioned the need for jobs, some of that. When you read the East-West Rail and the situation that it's in, do you get as excited as I do about this thing? I mean, it seems like, if nothing else, it's worth exploring. But it seems like this is something we should all be behind.
I'd like to get excited, and then somebody that... One of my biggest supporters says, if you support that, Rex, I'll never vote for you again. And he's a dear friend of 50 years. And he's going, you know, they looked at this years ago and it wasn't. And I go, you know, we've got to look at everything. They haven't asked for money. They haven't asked for much of anything.
China wasn't buying a whole bunch of stuff a long time ago.
No. And
now
you know,
they are.
And they're actually looking at some of our infrastructures and stuff like that. And I mean, they are the big elephant in the room, and they're scary, but they're buying, you know, we're actually selling more stuff to them as we're buying more stuff from them, but it's going both ways now. I know there's a huge, they just did a trade group to Russia, believe it or not, a group from Idaho, and they're talking about doubling what they send to Russia, both in potatoes, processed foods, beef, I mean, things that can work, yeah. Things that can work out of here, you know, out of the it's going to come out of the West Coast ports.
You're kind of familiar with that, with Long Beach, L.A., and Oakland being as jammed up as they are. I guess Seattle is also. And that wasn't the case historically. Now that they're there, you would think that there would be a palpable demand.
Well, Damian Mooney, who's president of the local longshoremen here, you know, I asked him. I said, because they have to travel because they get so little movement out of this port. And he says they're busy. The ports are busy. They're picking up. They're, you know, from 2008, you know, early 2009 when they hit the bottom. He says things are picking up and it's looking better. So and as we evolve and things get better, you know, financially, hopefully throughout this whole process, these things do pick up. So the East-West Rail, it's an idea to look at. It's something to study. Gosh, I got something the other day. Red Emerson just signed on for it. Now, I'm looking at a guy that started with one little sawmill here, and now he's whatever, the second largest landowner in the United States, who's done real well by speculating, you know. And I said this before, Warren Buffett's investing more money in rails than he's investing everywhere else. Well, all of a sudden I'm seeing guys that I know are a heck of a lot smarter than I am, and they're looking at rails, and they're looking at new routes. There's new routes being looked at everywhere. And then our port, we've got a deep water port. I mean, it's a very, very good port for, you know, both for recreational, for aquaculture. for maritime use. And as we look at this,
but for economic use too.
Oh, maritime economics. Yes, yeah. You bet. And these we've done it. You know, I've said, I think in 1978 or something, we had 268 ships in our port. That's a lot of ships. You know, and we don't have pulp mills. We don't have the mills we used to have, but there's other things. But we still have those byproducts. And I know California Redwood would still like to be able to ship dimensional lumber out of here. They would rather ship lumber than logs. Of course they would.
Yeah, but I think anybody would, wouldn't they?
There isn't a doubt in my mind, because they'd love to keep that byproduct either for the biomass or for shipping out. They'd love to keep that.
How about just margin?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Basic profit, yeah. So it seems as if this is something to explore. Are the naysayers still out there?
Oh, we had a little resolution.
Other than your one buddy?
Yeah. We had a resolution in front of the board the other day that passed August 8th unanimously with a little discussion. I went to the meeting at the city council, and it came in front of us, and Virginia and I sponsored it. And at the August 8th meeting, I know they asked the city attorney there, did it bind them to spending any money, staff time? And she said no to the city council. And then over 4 months later, it comes to us, and all of a sudden there's huge, not huge, but there was opposition to it because it wasn't a paid group. It was a group of volunteers. I think there was 20 unions involved, plus a working group of a wide variety of educators and people, a wide variety of people that just put a simple resolution out there that said they were going to work for the betterment of the harbor and a lot of different things, the aquaculture, the mariculture, a lot of the different things. And it was just one of those feel-good things that it had a volunteer group moving forward. And the last thing I want to do is when a volunteer group's moving forward without creating waves or creating problems, don't stop that momentum, because right now we need as much momentum as possible. But then there's also people that says, wow, that's going to tie into, you know, and so they've got to throw rocks at it. And they try to justify it by saying, oh, the T's not crossed or the I's not dotted. And I wish they'd just come out and say why they don't like it or what they don't want to have happen.
What happens when you ask them?
Huh?
What happens when you ask them that?
Oh, they just feel, you know, rough around the edges and things like this. And this group here, I had asked them why they hadn't gone to the harbor before, and they said they were trying to show support before they went to the harbor. And I'd been to a few of the meetings back last year or earlier this year, and, you know, I went. There was harbor commissioners there, so I thought they were aware of everything. So, I mean, I think our harbor's doing a great job. They're facilitating these log ships, getting these things in and out. They're looking at a wide variety. Jack Kreider's looking at a wide variety of things that they can do out there to make themselves sustainable. Because as you'll find out with the government and everything else, we're going to end up standing on our own a lot. And you better not have a big back balance, because the state will come take it away from you anyway, as the redevelopment people.
You noticed. You're learning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, what does 2013 hold for you? What are you excited about that's going to be out there, let's say, in the next couple of months?
Well, you know, I look forward to see how a lot of these things happen. I'd like to see where our harbor goes. I'd like to see whether it's east-west, if they get their money for their feasibility study, if somebody comes in and finances. I'm looking forward to Richardson's Grove finally coming to a rest and getting that, so we can get these, you know, STAA trailers, you know, get them up here to kind of help with the Mary Keens and the Cypress Grove and a few of these businesses that need those longer trailers.
Well, how about the Safeways and the Walmarts and just the guys that are hauling, you know, the extra cost that us all?
Well, it's just extra food costs. And when you're hauling Sun Valley, you know, when you're hauling a dry bulk product that's light, that extra 5 foot of trailer, it adds, you know, another 10-12% volume you can carry, because you're never going to get up to 80,000 pounds. I mean, no matter how long the trailer is, the thing can only weigh 80,000 pounds. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So it's just going to spread. And it's the same size trucks are using now. It's just 5 foot more trailer. And it's in Walmart's already coming over $299. So that boogeyman's out of the room. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. It just is interesting. So which of those two? Richardson's Grove? Would that, if that got addressed, finalized, completed, and they got back to the same spot where the plans were set to take care of it, is that enough for you? Is that your number one?
No, that's not my number one. I just think there's. I think I have about 10 number ones that I'd like to see happen. You know, I look forward to Betty Chin starting her day center. I think getting her into one location where she can help out. She's going to be doing the same thing she's always done, but she's going to be doing it in one location. She's going to still be helping out her 20 or 30 kids, getting them cleaned up for school every morning so they can hold their head high. You know, so they have some self-pride in themselves, and maybe some of those kids will come out of it and, you know, come back later and be, you know, help us later on in life and things like that. You know, I'm always amazed at the energy and the effort she puts forward. We just served Christmas dinner the other day and served about 300 people, and she's just going 100 miles an hour the whole time, and the volunteers showed up, and it's just, it feels so good, and it always breaks my heart because I seem to know so many of the people having to take advantage of it, and you realize where we've come and what's happening.
So that's number one?
No.
No.
Number one is to get this county back to work to a lot of people. I'd like to open my arms up and find a good business that comes in and pays livable wage jobs that people are proud to go to work to.
Is that your job? To find that business?
I don't think it can't not be my job. The idea is to facilitate it when it gets here, to let them know that they're welcome, and that, you know, hey, here's some locations. You know, I mean, those are things we can do. I mean, you know, we have Prosperity 2012, economic development. We have all those things, and hopefully they're working towards, you know, that progress and things like that. But down in my district, you know, the Salt River. Salt River, they've actually started clearing brush, and they've put out the contract. It's been accepted, and they're going to start that. And that's going to be a start for those people down there. It's going to be a 3.5-year process, but that's going to be great for the dairymen down there and things like that. And the dairy industry, it seems like they're doing a little bit better down on that end. So I'm glad to see that. Jay Parrish and Ferndale, they're doing a really good job. Lolita's making little bits and strides of they've got a little kiosk in town and their little chamber of commerce and their main street and things like that. Little places in my district. Scotia, there's talk now that they've got the ash problem taken care of, that the Greenleaf will be opened back up in the spring. You know, everything works out.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be way cool. There'd be 30 jobs there that I'd love to see. So those are all things I'd like to see. So I don't want to put anything right on top.
Project number one, A through Z.
A through Z, and thanks. I hope to work on all of them.
Appreciate your time, Rex.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. You too. Ash, yours is your most. Maybe not. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hudson, we'll see you tomorrow.